Psalm 37. And if you take an honest and serious look at our world, both nationally and personally, it does not appear as if those who love God are winning. The truth is, those who oftentimes seem to be the most godless also seem to be the most prosperous. The phenomenon is certainly not new to our day, but it's the same kind of thing that David saw in his day. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. When David wrote Psalm 37, he was an old man. In fact, he specifically says in Psalm 37:25 that he was now old. David had lived a lot of life, and he had lived a long life. He had faced many things that would have probably crushed most people. In his life, he certainly knew what it was like to look at people who did not care about God, who were wicked, who were seemingly on top of the world. He knew what it's like to be one who did love God and be at times the one who was just trying to survive. Well, David did survive, and he was now old, and out of his old age came these psalms, and this Psalm 37 is one of them. And the point he communicates is this: in view of how God views the righteous and the wicked, and in view of what God will eventually do to the righteous and the wicked, the righteous person should never worry about or be envious of the temporal successes and prosperity of the wicked. As we read the Psalms, we are seeing that when David was hurt by those who were proud and arrogant, time and time again he cried out to God. As he lived his life throughout the years, he had learned a lot of lessons, and this psalm is a psalm written by a fatherly and elderly man. The psalm is very prophetic, and it presents two repeated themes. It talks about dwelling in or inheriting the promised land, and it talks about removal of those that are wicked. So, look at these observations that David made about God and life in his old age. He says that God's people did not need to worry or be envious of the wicked people, but they should trust in God. Look at verse 1. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So God's people do not need to worry to be envious of wicked people. They got to trust the Lord. God does let his people live in an environment in which they do see the wicked prospering. And this type of environment, God proves his people, tries his people, and develops his people. Look at this. Why God's people should not worry or be envious of the wicked person? Well, there's three reasons why that is the case. Because the wicked will soon vanish. Success is always temporal, but eternity is forever. No matter what one has, he will leave it here. And because worrying about the wicked causes one to be angry. And because worrying about the wicked leads to doing evil. So, why God's people should invest their time trusting God? If it's true that wicked people prosper, why then pursue holiness and godliness? Well, notice the challenges that David makes to the believer who specifically sees the wicked prospering. He specifically challenges the believer to focus on God and his word. He says, trust in the Lord. Don't trust in anyone's prosperity. Continue to do what is good. Persist in doing what is right before God. Continue to develop faithfulness where you are. Focus on being faithful to God. Delight in the Lord. Find great joy in God and his word. Commit your ways to the Lord. Every day of life should be submitted to God's will. Rest in the Lord. Quietly have your confidence in God. And patiently wait on the Lord. Patient, quiet waiting and resting on God is very rare. Well, there's reasons for that. Because God will give you the desires of your heart. God will do what you desire him to do. God will cause your righteousness to shine. And God will cause you to shine through judgment. So the challenge here is that instead of wasting time worrying about the wicked, invest our time focusing on God and His Word. And we see the wicked prospering, we can do one of two things. We can worry about them and envy them, or we can develop our own personal relationship with God. If we opt to go work on our relationship with God, the wicked ultimately will envy us because God will do much with us and for us. But then we see another observation here, that God's people need to know what will happen to the wicked. Look at beginning of verse 9. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous, and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. What will ultimately happen to the wicked is certainly not enviable. The picture is not pretty. In David's own lifetime, he had actually seen God do these kinds of things to successful wicked people. The things mentioned here are in the future, not the immediate. God will cut off the wicked to the point that there will be no evidence of their existence. God will laugh at the wicked because while he is planning his attack against the righteous, God is planning his judgment against the wicked. God will destroy the wicked with their own weaponry. God will break the arms of the wicked and will sustain the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless and will reward them with an eternal inheritance. The Lord will never allow the blameless to be ashamed during times of judgment. The Lord will always abundantly provide for the blameless when giving famine to others. God will rid the world of the wicked. The wicked are takers, and the righteous are gracious givers, and God will remove the wicked from the world. They are of no value. He will bless the righteous, but he will cut off the wicked. They will vanish. Any light or bright spot in the life of one wicked is only a phantom light. He will vanish forever. When we consider these things, there is certainly no point of worrying about or envying the wicked. Truth is, we should pity them because no matter how much they have in this life, they are on an eternal course of eternal destruction. We see another observation here, that God's people need to remember God's attitude toward and blessings to the righteous. Look at verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The fact is that God's people are the ones who should be envied. When one considers all God does for the righteous and how God views the righteous, this point is certainly true. God establishes the steps of the righteous. God blesses those daily steps. God delights in one righteous. God holds up the righteous even when he fails. God will not forsake the righteous when he falls. Righteous people may fall, but they will never be forsaken by God. David has never seen the righteous forsaken. God will provide for the righteous and his family. David has never seen any of God's righteous people begging for food. He saw that God always provides. God will cause the righteous to abide forever. God will never forsake the righteous. God will always preserve the righteous and his family. God will give the righteous an eternal inheritance. God will use the righteous to speak up for him. God will develop the heart of the righteous so that he does not slip. Now, who exactly should be envied? Should we envy the wicked or the righteous? And then lastly, we see that God's people need to know the contrast between the destinies of those righteous and those wicked. Look at verse 32. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Look at these differences. The wicked who try to trap the righteous will themselves be trapped and destroyed. All God's people really need to do is wait on God for his delivering power. The wicked who live in violence and luxury will pass away forever, never to be heard from again. The wicked will have his posterity cut off, and the righteous will have his posterity blessed. Evil people will leave this world and leave it nothing. There will come a time when their memory will be gone. And the righteous will find strength and deliverance from God in times of trouble. No matter what our trouble or problem, we may always take refuge in our God because he is our help in times of trouble. So there's some lessons to learn. The people who should be envied are those who are right with God. The people who should be pitied are those proud and successful without God. And the people who love God should think about all God does for them. And the people who don't love God need to think about what God will do to them.